I speak too loud, or I might be too soft, like in a situation like this. So,
well, right, those levels were pretty good. So okay. Just how you're speaking right
all
now
right.
Is just
okay.
Fine. Great. How was your trip up here? I'll ask you that first.
Well, except for the construction, we did all right.
Good.
Yeah. Well, Idaho's a nice place to drive, actually. Not an awful lot of heavy traffic, not too many semi-trucks, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the drivers are nicer.
Yeah, a lot nicer than Utah.
I grew up in Utah, partly, but that's where I got my driver's license, and I am always ashamed to say I was a Utah driver.
Oh, yeah.
They're just terrible.
Yeah.
I'll put these right here. Well, we'll go ahead and get started.
All right.
And we'll kind of pretend like this is a live interview. So sometimes I'll say things that make it sound like we're live, but we're not. So
okay.
This is all pre-done. So
all right.
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
I'm here with Jeff Hepworth. He's an artist who his art will be on display in the Sporia Art Gallery, and it's called Quiet Moments. Jeff, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure and an honor to be a part of this.
Now, that title, Quiet Moments, why did you choose that?
Well, actually, I have to give that honor to my wife, who actually helped me with that. I think the first title I chose for my show, I think, was a little on the technical side, and Kyung and my wife, Dixie, decided that it needed to be something a little bit more related to the common person. So I think we chose that topic because most of my work has a soft, quiet feel to it. So I think it fits my work well.
Now, your work is mostly landscape art.
Yeah.
You do oil painting, is that right?
Yeah, I would consider myself a pure landscape painter. Sometimes I put structures or a herd of cows or something like that in my paintings, but usually my paintings are trees, lakes, rivers, mountains, streams, those types of things that I love.
How did you first start into landscape art?
Well, I think my love for the landscape actually began when I was a young child. My parents had a truck and camper with a large picture window over the cab. And back in those days, it wasn't against the law to ride in a truck camper.
Right.
So I would lie on top, and as we traveled down the road to a lot of beautiful places, I would just watch, and I became mesmerized by the journey. Well, my brothers and sisters were in the back fighting and complaining about the trip being too long. I was really enjoying myself, and I learned that the journey to the destination was actually one of the funnest parts of the trip for me. So I spent a lot of time outdoors as a young boy too. I didn't like to be inside. And I grew up in Clearfield, Utah, which mm-hmm. at the time was a very small town. There wasn't an awful lot of homes. And so I would roam the foothills of the Wasatch Mountains with my BB gun
yep.
and get into all kinds of trouble. But I enjoyed being outdoors. So I think that's why I'm drawn to it.
Now, when you paint landscape, are you taking things that you've seen and painting actual things, or are you kind of changing them in your mind, or what's kind
well,
of your process?
I actually approach it three different ways. Sometimes I do my paintings from pencil sketches that I do on site. Sometimes I do them from a series of photograph studies that I do, but I do plein air painting, outdoor painting on site, and I do brush sketches the way you would do a pencil sketch, just to collect ideas and colors and composition. And that's how I get my larger studio paintings, as I paint from the smaller studies I do. For a large painting, I might do four or five different studies in the same area and then use all four of those smaller studies to create a larger studio piece.
How do you choose where you go or what landscape you want to paint?
Well, you know, we do a lot of traveling with my art. Ever since I retired from teaching, we do a lot of art shows in the summer, and we travel a lot, the Pacific Coast. We go to a lot of national parks. So wherever I go, I look for beautiful things, and that's what I paint, just anything that inspires me.
Is there a particular place that you've loved above any other?
There is. In fact, it's not too far from here. We love the Tetons. And in fact, through this process, the week we delivered the paintings, we spent a week in the Tetons.
Oh, wow.
A month before I delivered the paintings, we came up here just to scout out the gallery, and we used that as an excuse to go to the Tetons.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of drawn mostly to the mountain landscapes, and there are so many beautiful mountains in that area of the country and it's not too far from our home. It's only about less than a 3-hour drive, so we frequent the Tetons.
Yeah. Do you prefer the Wyoming side or the Idaho side?
Well,
be careful.
I like both sides. How's that?
Great. If you were to give advice to a new painter, what would you tell them?
Well, you really can't compensate for painting a lot. You really can't become a good painter, no matter how talented you are, without painting. So my advice would be to paint, 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 and learn from the problem solving that's within the process, and learn from trial and error what works for you and what doesn't. Richard Schmid, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he's a famous American artist, considered by many kind of a guru of color. He wrote a book, I think back in the 80s, and in his book he says that you're not a real painter until you've done about 3,000 paintings.
Wow.
So I'm not a real painter yet, I don't
you're
think.
Still working
I'm
on.
Getting close because I'm up there in years, but my advice would be just to get in there and do it a lot.
Do you ever have moments where you've painted something and you don't like it at all?
Happens all the time.
What do you do?
Well, you know, one reason I like oils is because they're forgiving. When I graduated from Weber State University, after taking a lot of art classes, the thing back then was watercolor. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to be a watercolorist. It was just a popular thing to do. And I think I'm a better painter because of being a watercolorist. But I worked exclusively in watercolors for maybe 10, 15 years until I switched over into oils. And oils are very forgiving. They give you a chance to think about the process and change the process and manipulate things a little more, whereas watercolor, it's very spontaneous, and what you put down, you're stuck with. So I kind of was gravitated towards the oil painting because it allowed me, I think, to think through things. I think I'm a thinker, and it allows me to make corrections. But, you know, I've had my series of flops every once in a while. Something just doesn't work, and I overwork something. It doesn't happen very often now, but when I was a younger man, it would happen all the time. In fact, we have a humorous painting that we call the Green Painting. And we hadn't been married very long. I hadn't been out of school for very long, and I did an oil painting of a car parked under a barn, and there was a lot of summer greens in the picture. Uh-huh. And the greens got a little bit out of hand, and I kept trying to correct him over and over and over again, and it became very comical to the point where I started to purposely make mistakes just out of the humor of the situation. And I wish I still had that painting to this day, because even though it was probably the worst painting I ever did, it was it was a great learning experience, and it humbled me.
So maybe a word of advice to new painters, keep that the worst one that you've made.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, when I teach workshops, I wish I had that painting to show the students in the workshop, because, you know, no matter how good you are and how talented you are, I think you get some flops along the way.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
When people go to your exhibit, what do you hope they feel as they look at your art?
Well, I hope they feel the same thing I feel when I render the piece, when I create it. I hope they have an emotional connection to the landscape. We have so many beautiful places in this world, and I hope they make an emotional connection that says to them that there is a God, there is a creator. That's why I think I make my paintings soft and quiet, because when I go out into nature, that's one of the most enjoyable things, is when you're in a quiet place away from the traffic, away from the noise. Everything is just slowed down. Your blood pressure lowers, and you just make that connection.
Yeah, something we may not do enough these days.
Yeah, exactly. Something I wish I could do every day of my life, but, you know, there's commotion in raising kids and families and things like that, so we don't get to do it every day. But when we do, you know, it's fun to have that calming effect in your life for a few moments.
Jeff Hepworth, thank you so much.
You're welcome.